Get ready for the Daily Faceoff Live free agency special coming to you on July 1st, live from 11 a.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. Join me, Tyler Remchuk, along with former NHLers Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton, our NHL insider Frank Saravalli, and all of our friends from all across the league for 3 hours of nonstop action as we deep dive into the madness of NHL free agency. We'll be breaking down every trade and signing, discussing the impact on teams, and giving you the inside scoop on all the wheeling and dealing happening around the league. Catch all the action live on July 1st from 11 a.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. It's the Daily Faceoff Live free agency special. You won't want to miss it.
Welcome back to the Friday episode of Dropping the Gloves. You know, I posted this morning I was going to be doing a solo episode because John was on the road and there was too much to cover to wait till Monday. But I actually have a very special guest calling in today. John, how are you?
I saw that post and I said, if we can't let the viewers have Tim alone, it wouldn't be good. So I had to jump on via phone, no Zoom, unfortunately, but I'm happy to be here, Tim.
Good. We're happy to have you. You driving back to Michigan tonight or what?
This afternoon, we're doing our last day of camp here with the kids. So we're up at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we're going to leave after camp around noon. So yes, we're leaving today.
Nice. Yeah, like I mentioned, there's just been so much happening in the last couple of days that we could not wait till Monday. But before we get into all of it, I want to let everyone know that this episode is brought to you by Bet365, the proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA to sign up today. So, big trades, John. Some waiver claims, some big rumors, all happening right now. But it's weird because the Stanley Cup Finals aren't even over yet. And you almost forget that it's going on. Like, the most exciting thing that's happened this week are these big trades. And the Barkley Goudreau waiver claim and some of the big rumors of Chychrun and Allmark and all these guys. You forget there's still games to be played. And it's really strange because everyone's talking about it. I mean, it's almost July. It's in the 90s. People have been in summer mode for weeks. And this Stanley Cup Finals could end up taking 3 weeks if it goes to seven, which is just crazy. And it really pinches like the rest of the stuff, too, in terms of like the free agency day, the draft, like the parade. I think if Edmonton or Florida wins in seven, the management wouldn't even be able to be at the parade because of draft stuff. Like, it's just crazy. So hopefully it gets wrapped up sooner than later. But this is a really kind of showcasing that the NHL schedule has to fix this for next year because it's really just unacceptable, I think. What do you think, John?
Well, it's just the product of the players in the latest round of bargaining. They wanted that break. Right. And they wanted the 7 days off with no hockey activities outside of the All-Star game. And so each team has that built into the schedule and you can't just have 20, 30 teams at one time take a week break. So what that has done, it has pushed the schedule back further into June and July. And this playoff round being Florida versus Edmonton, they're so far away. Like we said, it's the furthest distance traveled between two cities. You had to have a built-in day for travel because if you were trying to do it one day break between games of travel, that would be too hard on the players. And I know it's something to say, oh, they're flying private and they have this and that. And it's such a luxurious way to travel. It's difficult to jump on a plane for anybody, let alone an athlete who just played his tail off for 35 minutes, jump on a plane the next day for however many hours, 4, 5, 6 hours, and then to expect them to play the next day. If you want good product on the ice, you have to have a built-in rest day. So I don't know what the NHL can do aside from just starting the season earlier. Start it at what? In the middle of September, maybe? Push camp a little bit earlier to the middle of August and just make everything earlier because the players have that break. Now they're going to do the World Cup of Hockey and then they have the All-Star break and then you throw an Olympics in there every 4 years. It's a difficult job to kind of work this schedule with all the stuff you have to jam in there. So you try to make it work, but at the end of the day, yeah, you end up playing hockey into July. So I just think this is just a product of trying to get everybody their rest and all the events and everything, Tim. So we just have to suck it up. I think the viewership is through the roof, so I don't think it's affecting viewership too much. It might pull away from the casual fan, but I think if you're a hockey fan, you just have to kind of suck it up and watch a hockey game July 1st, which could be worse. It's Canada Day.
Yeah, I mean, it won't quite go to July, but we're pretty close. And I think that you made a good point. Like, if you're obviously an Oilers fan or a Panthers fan, this is no big deal. Like, you want the games to be sooner because you're excited for them, but like dragging it out isn't that big of a deal because that's what your focus is. But if I wasn't doing this show and following the league and I was just a Bruins fan, or if you're rooting for any of the other teams in the league, like, this is a tough week. You forget that they're even on. They just lose all the momentum and excitement, I think, for the average fan, which I think actually is hurting the viewership a bit outside of those key regions. So we'll see how that shakes out. But let's get into some of the bigger news in the last couple of days. The first domino fell in the goalie market, which we kind of knew was going to happen, whether it was sooner or later. But Jacob Markstrom was sent to the Devils. In return, Calgary gets a 23-year-old defenseman named Kevin Ball and a first-round pick in 2025, so next year. Ball is a physical third-pairing defenseman who takes a lot of penalties, but he can also log a lot of minutes. He's physical. He can play the body. Nothing flashy, but a good bottom-tier NHL defenseman and a first-round pick next year in return for Markstrom, which I think is probably a good deal for both teams. We can talk about the bigger picture with Calgary and what this means for the team. But for this trade, if you just isolate this trade, I think the Devils get a need in the goaltending, which they desperately needed. And Calgary offloads and gets a first-round pick, which will probably be, not a high pick, a mid to late first-round pick by the time the Devils probably take some better steps next year in 2025. But what do you think about this trade, John?
I'm surprised. So you see, I think it's completely one-sided. I think Calgary nailed this one. You have a goaltender who is not in his prime anymore. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I know last year he wasn't good. I know the year before he wasn't very good. He's not getting any younger. He signed under contract for another 3 years, Tim, I think, maybe longer. And what do you expect if you're the New Jersey Devils? Which goaltender are you going to get? And when you're giving up a good, young, strong, meat and potatoes type defenseman who can go out there and do his job, log 12 to 15 minutes, maybe throw him on the kill every once in a while, but just a good, rugged defenseman, and you're giving up a first-rounder, you expect maybe a little more in return. I'm shocked with this trade. I think it's reactionary. They knew they had a glaring weakness in the net last year. Vitek Vanacek wasn't good. They had Schmid, who wasn't very good, and it arguably cost them a playoff spot. They just struggled in that area. So they went out and they grabbed somebody, but boy, oh boy. Like, we've seen Markstrom play really, really good hockey, Tim, over the last 5 years, but we've also seen him in the last 2 years just be atrocious. Couldn't stop a beach ball.
Right. I've seen the word volatile being thrown around for him, which I feel like is critical but fair, because you just don't know what you're going to get from him. And he's very capable of being a top 10 goalie at certain points in the last few years, maybe even top five at his peak. But he's also very capable of being aggressively average or worse. And I feel like this is probably a case, too, of a little bit of panic, like you said. And, I think they were looking at Allmark. They were looking at even UC Saros, but the asking price was too high, even higher than this. So on the flip side, for the Flames, I feel like you're glad to get rid of this contract. And they're doing what you and I have always said that these bad teams should do, is embrace the tank. Don't go for that mediocrity. Now, in the last 2 years, they've let go of Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Monahan, Toffoli, Zadorov, Lindholm, Tanev, Hanifin, and now Markstrom. So they had such a good team a couple of years ago, and now all these guys are gone, and they're going to be really bad in coming up, even though they're stuck with all these bad contracts. So I think it's a good thing to get rid of Markstrom, embrace the suck, go get some higher picks. And the other thing I would mention, too, is like, if you're a Bruins fan or following the Allmark situation, this is a big domino, because it's one less team potential suitor off the board, because the Devils are one of the teams that were rumored, and now they've addressed the goalie need. But it's also a good thing, too, because this is a high price to pay for a goalie, and Allmark is younger and better than Markstrom at this point. So if you're looking at comps, this is a good marker in the sand for the Bruins.
Yeah, I really don't understand this move for the Devils. I get it might be a slight upgrade, but boy, oh boy, you're really going all in on this season on a guy who has just struggled the last 2 years, who has shown, like you said, glimpses of his former self. But all in all, in the last 2 years, I feel like he's trended towards a mediocre, if not below average, goaltender. And you're going, oh, this is your guy. You have Jack Hughes, you have Dougie Hamilton, you have all these high-end guys, Timo Meier. You want a bounce-back season, and you're banking it on Jacob Markstrom when there's other goaltenders out there. Like you said, first domino. why not pay a little bit more? Go for UC Soros. If that's the guy, UC Soros, we know what he can do. He is in the prime of his career. He can steal you a game. He can steal you a series. He is a grade A talent. If he's on the market, I would much rather give up two first rounders and go for him. You don't need any more talent in this roster. You don't need it. You have lots of high-end guys up front. You have a pretty good defense. You're lacking in the goaltender area. Just go for it. But now you don't want to pay that price, and you get a mediocre guy who could be good, but he's more than likely going to be bad, and you're going to be in the same boat next year. It doesn't make sense to me. I always do this when I'm buying a car or something else. You can buy, a used car, Tim, for like $7,000 to $10,000 to $12,000, and it might break down in a couple of years. Or you can spend $25,000 and buy a car you know you're going to drive for the next 20 years, 15 years. So why not just pay a little bit more? You know you're getting better. You're getting security, and you're getting a guy who you know isn't going to stink 1 month into the season. So this move for the Devils, for me, is not good. Calgary wins this trade hands down in my eyes. You get a good defenseman. You get out of Markstrom's contract. And to boot, you get a first rounder. I don't know how he swung that deal, but Conroy did great on this one.
Yeah, it's a fair point. The other big move, the trade that happened, another goalie was moved. Darcy Kemper was sent to LA in exchange for our good old friend Pierre-Luc Dubois. This is a classic case of like the Galchenyuk effect a little bit with Dubois. Another GM thinking he's going to look like a genius. If Dubois finally hits his potential in his stride and finds some chemistry, stays healthy, whatever you want to call it, then he's going to look like a genius for acquiring him for relatively cheap. But if you're getting what you've gotten from him the last couple of years, it's just a head scratcher of a move. And with everyone's making the jokes about the Washington Capitals acquiring Cap Friendly last week. I don't know if you saw this, John, but people were like, yeah, they acquired Cap Friendly and then traded for Dubois because no one can look at Cap Friendly and make fun of him for how bad his contract is. Because it's atrocious. And he hasn't given you anything. And I think if the upside is there, obviously, the talent's there. He's a big body. He's been a top six forward. He's had a decent year in the past. It's a high-risk play for the Capitals because if he locks into the top six, if you get a little bit of energy and synergy between those two players, if you find some chemistry with Ovechkin, for example, they were a playoff team. And now if your top six is not terrible, Ovechkin, Dubois, Milano, Pacioretty, Strome, Wilson, like that's not terrible. It's not exciting, but it's not that bad. So what was your take on this trade, John?
Well, Patch, I think, is a UFA. So I don't know if he'll be back, but just the trade as a whole, Tim, was it's a head scratcher. This is coming from a player, PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was thought to be bought out a month ago. That was on the table, a real live consequence of his season. The LA Kings were mulling that. They said, no, we're going to work with them. We still believe in him. We're going to take him under our wing. We can, Anze will work with them. Same with Deneau. And then fast forward to now, and then you find a suitor to take on his 7 years, $8.5 million per year. That's incredible. And a suitor is a team who is on the downward swing. Like the Washington Capitals, they're not fooling anybody by the idea that they're ascending. They're a team on the rise. No, this team is dying, and they limped into the playoffs last year somehow by winning games where we just shook our head after the game. Like, how did this team win that game? No clue. A lot of it was Charlie Lindgren. He played fantastic down the stretch. But no one's thinking this team is a Stanley Cup contender by any means this year or the next 5 years. This is a team on the decline. They're going to be in trouble. It's an insane move to make for the Washington Capitals to take on this guy and his contract. If he was a star player worth $8.5 million, he's not.
Yeah.
He is a mediocre player who gets 40 points a year, and he makes 8.5 for the next seven, and he's done nothing but be a cancer in every single room he's entered, Tim. So it's mind-boggling they'd bring this guy on.
And there's no reason really to think that he's going to turn it around. Like, there's no reason to think that a new city, a new situation. He's been on three teams already, and people are being pretty critical of Rob Blake for getting rid of, like, if you go back the last year and a half, all the trades he's made. He ended up trading away Velarde, Iafallo, Kupari, 37th overall pick for 1 year of Dubois, in which he made $8.5 million, got 40 points, and then traded that for Darcy Kemper, who's like a 35-year-old goalie coming off an .890 save percentage season with 3 years left at 5.25. Though that's not a good look when you look at the whole picture, but I think if you isolate the trade, like, he took a swing on Dubois, obviously it missed, and he got rid of him for a contract and a trade that's not going to hurt you, and you also needed a little bit of goalie depth, and Kemper could be a solid goalie again. Some goalies just still can have a bounce back season, even as they advance in a later age. Just look at obviously Bobrovsky's a higher tier, but even who was the goalie in the Stars a couple of years ago? Took him to the Cup Finals. I'm blanking on the name, but these older goalies can bounce back, and Kemper could be that guy. So I feel like it's okay.
Anton Khudobin.
Khudobin, yes.
A few years ago. But yeah, I agree with you. I get on GMs for not being active and for sitting on their hands. The guy in New Jersey comes to mind, the guy in, or the Islanders, excuse me, who I'm very critical of, Lou Lamoriello. You don't do anything. You don't do anything. So I'm not going to sit here and throw stones at Rob Blake. He went out. He went and got PLD. He thought he'd be a help for his team. And he realized after 1 year, big mistake. This guy's not an asset. We already signed him to the big ticket. And so he made the change. Let's get rid of him before we're stuck with him for 7 more years. So good on Rob Blake for making a move. Obviously, in hindsight, he doesn't make that initial trade with the Washington or Winnipeg Jets because, like I said, Tim, the best player in this trade was Gabe Vilardi. And it will come true if it hasn't already come true. But I don't mind this. You get rid of him. Darcy Kuemper, it is what it is. He'll be a backup goaltender. You'll play him 20, 30 games. He won't be terrible, but he'll be a good upgrade to Cam Talbot, maybe kind of similar type goaltender, but you had to get out from this long-term contract, Pierre-Luc Dubois. 8.5 for 7 years is a long time versus a Darcy Kuemper for three at 5.25. You still have a little more money left in the bank. And potentially, I think what we don't know, how he gelled in the locker room. Seems like he wasn't liked in L.A. He didn't really fit in. Guys were chirping him. We heard Drew Doughty after a few games saying, guys aren't buying it. They're worried about themselves. They're worrying about their own stats. And it's aimed right at PLD. He's not talking about Kopitar or Fiala or Deneau or these guys. It was aimed right at Dubois. So obviously in the locker room, things weren't going well. He saw an issue and he had to ship him out. Now he's Washington's problem. And I don't see that going well. It's going to end badly again. But he's making 8.5. So, hey, whatever, PLD. Do your thing, man.
Yeah, so he's expectedly excited for this. He's going to wear number 80. We'll see. You know, he could prove us wrong, but again, there's no reason to think that this is going to be any different from what we've seen from him the last 3 years. So weird move by Washington, but we'll see how it works out. The last one I want to touch on is the Barkley Goodrow waiver claim. So as we talked about on Wednesday, he was sent on waivers by the Rangers, and there was a rumor that the Sharks were going to claim him. He obviously came up with San Jose. There was this weird little unspoken backdoor agreement that the Sharks are going to claim him after the Rangers waived him. So what's crazy about this is that San Jose was on Barkley Goodrow's no trade list. He had a no trade list. He did not want to go back to San Jose. And apparently he's not happy about how this all went down. He had 15 teams. This is one of them. Drury asked him to waive it. He said no. So he sent him on waivers, basically getting around the no trade clause. And this is kind of opening an argument about, should this be allowed? Is this shady by the GMs to do this? And Goudreau's not happy because he feels like he lost control on something that he should have had control on. So what side do you fall on this, John?
Well, it's an okay rule. So I'm on the side of Chris Drury. You know, it's allowed to happen. You're allowed to put someone on waivers, and it is what it is. And he gets claimed. If I'm Goody, I'm ticked. I'm going to shoot him a text right now and see if he'll come on the show. I doubt he responds. He's probably super upset. But I learned a long time ago, you can never, ever, ever trust anybody in hockey. GMs, coaches, presidents, even teammates. You can't trust anybody. At the end of the day, it's a business. And they will do whatever they can to make their team better. And if I'm Chris Drury, I'm looking at my contracts, I'm looking at my team, how can I free up money to maybe make this team better? Barkley Goodrow, he makes a lot of money. It makes a lot of sense for him to be off of our team. Oh, you don't want to be traded? Okay, well, we're going to put you on waivers. Yeah, we'll eat that waiver fee that we're going to have to dead money cap next year. And well, that'll be fine. It's like probably $1.5 million. And at the end of the day, it screws over Barkley Goodrow. He's not happy, but it's within the rules. It's just like the LTIR. It's just like all these other gimmicks. The GMs know the rules. They have guys who comb through all these contracts and the CBA, and they find ways to make their team better. And they could care less about the player. It could absolutely care less. And so Chris Drury just went about his business, and yeah, he's hurting some feelings, but I know it stinks if you're Goodrow. Business, man. You should have learned this a long time ago. Now you get to go back to San Jose. You're familiar with that area. You obviously still have friends on the team, and you probably know people in the area, but it stings because he probably has a place in New York. He was going to end his career there. He was good in the playoffs, but it's business. And then sometimes it's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fair. It's in the rule book for a reason, and no one like broke any rules or anything. But Gaudreau's got his right to be upset. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah, hopefully he comes on the show. I'd love to hear from him. All right, so we'll
Well,
wrap
these
up.
are things that,
Sorry.
like, players won't forget about this. And so every time there's a new CBA, this will be something that will be talked about. If I have a no-move clause, I guarantee you, or it should be inserted into the new CBA, or at least put up for negotiation. If I sign a no-move clause, that means I can't be put on waivers. That means you cannot move me to any team, regardless of the situation. You can't terminate my contract unless it's verified and okay. You can't throw me on waivers, and if I do get thrown on waivers, I still stay in the system. You can't trade me. No team can pick me up. So that would be something that should be added into the contract.
What about like you can still waive me, but I reserve the right to like say no to teams claiming me or something like that, you know? I
Yeah,
don't.
there's some wording where you stay within the organization. So.
Okay. Well, there's a whole bunch of other rumors, reports, injuries, updates, things like that. We'll just kind of run through some of these quickly. The big one is there's a couple in Vancouver actually. Right now, there's a lot of chatter about Jake Guentzel going to Vancouver. Reported he's actually in the city this week. I saw one report that he's looking at houses. I don't know if that's real or not, but Frank Saravelli did report that the Canucks are going hard after him. The number he expects is 7 years and somewhere around $9.5 million, which is a big chunk of change. But Vancouver, you know, if you're looking to take the next step, this is a player that you can build around. You know that he's got the playoff pedigree. So look out for that and see if that lands. And then sticking on Vancouver real quick, and I'll send it back to you, John. But apparently the Zadorov and the Canucks are working on an extension. We kind of thought that he'd price himself out just because of how strong he played in the defenseman market where he's probably the top dog, but they both really want to make it work. We know when we had him on back in December, he said how much he enjoyed the city, loved the team. Obviously, they want to go further. So we might see both of these players come back to Vancouver.
I don't know how this works out money-wise. So I don't know if you have it in front of you, Tim, but how does that work out if they do sign him? Just say 9.5, and then Zadorov gets 6 or 7. That doesn't make sense to me because you have JT Miller, you have Pettersson, you have all these other guys making a decent amount of money, and the cap isn't rising that much. So can you pull it up and tell me how that makes sense
Right now,
with
you've
Cameron
got six.
Hughes and now Ronick?
Yeah, you've got 16 million in cap space, but that does include. You only have five defensemen locked up. You locked up Mark Friedman yesterday too as a depth player, making minimum basically. But Cole Myers, Zadorov coming off the books in the back end. Bluger, Joshua, Lafferty, and Lindholm. Lindholm is going to be gone for sure. So you've got a little bit of money, but they probably have to make another move or two to make these guys both work. Mikhaev is
Yeah,
reportedly on the move too. He's making 4.7, and they're trying to make that work.
I like this if they can make it work because I think you need one more piece up front. That's what Jake Guentzel brings you. And then Zadorov, we saw how he did in the playoffs. So if they can swing this and make it work and fit all these guys under the cap with still some space to add some tertiary pieces, like this is a huge win because we thought once Ronick was signed, Zadorov was out the door. And then to bring in a Jake Guentzel and re-sign him. That's a pretty good win for the Vancouver Canucks. It's a destination now. That's what you're seeing. Players want to go there. They like Rick Tocchet. They like the environment. They like what they're building there. Pettersson had a good year. JT Miller is a solid leader. You have Quinn Hughes on the back end. This is what happens when you show signs and glimmers of hope in an organization, and you get a guy who leads it, and players want to play for him. All of a sudden, you're getting players visiting. You're getting guys taking maybe a discount because Jake Guentzel is worth more than 9.5 in my eyes. You can lock him in for 40, 45 goals. No problem on the first line. He's responsible defensively. So this is it. This is the fruits of building a good organization with a really solid coach at the helm.
Meanwhile, down in Carolina, it seems like Martin Nietzsche is either it's a when, not if he gets moved. He's an RFA. He's basically not going to sign. He wants a bigger role. He wants power play one. He wants to make more money than Carolina can afford to pay him. So Pierre LeBrun tweeted out yesterday, the word is that Hurricanes at this point have received several concrete trade offers for Nietzsche, but nothing yet they would say yes to. But teams are calling, teams are asking. Should continue, and it could even be, you know, between now and the draft or even at the draft in Vegas next week. He also said this is a rare case of teams actually looking at making an offer sheet. You almost never see it for a player of this quality because it would take like three first round picks to sign him as a payment, basically. But we might see that come out. So Nietzsche could be on the move any day now.
Yeah, again, the product of being on a really good team. Carolina been really good for a long time. I think teams are thinking he's maybe better than he is, and Nietzsche wants a bigger role. He hasn't had it in Carolina, but I would be buyer
buyer beware for this guy. I don't know if you pay him the money, if he's going to turn out. I would want someone who's a little more staying in this league potentially, because if he wants $7, $8 million long-term, I don't know if I'm willing to give him that much. But, hey, he has had a good career so far. The 3-4 years we've seen him, he's a good player. But, boy, oh, boy, I would be a little nervous. If he didn't make, you know, first line, second line in Carolina, playing big minutes on the first power play, which wasn't a great power play in Carolina, what makes you think he's going to do it somewhere else? So I am a little nervous. So I think Carolina's doing the right thing by getting rid of him.
Yeah, we'll see. He could be one of those guys that just blossoms in a top six. No, he's been a top six player for most of the last few years. But, you know, being the guy in the offense is what he wants. And obviously he's not that in Carolina. So we'll see if he does that in a new team, in a new role, and where he goes. Pending UFA, Anthony Mantha said Golden Knights have told him he won't be back. They're going to let him hit the market. So that'll be a name that teams will be calling this summer. And then Penguins Gold have re-signed friend of the show goaltender Alex Nedeljkovic to a 2-year contract. They now have Tristan Jarry and Nedeljkovic locked up for a combined 7.8, which is not bad for two goalies, and you feel like you're feeling pretty good about that combo.
Yeah, he's a guy who's a good backup, but can also just, you know, take the pipes when he's needed. You saw that at the end of the year with Pittsburgh. He was the guy who clawed them back into contention when they were fighting for that last playoff spot. It was him. It wasn't Jarry. Nedeljkovic right. got the net, I think, the lion's share of the last 10, 15 games. So that's a great sign. He's a good backup guy who won't rock the boat by being a backup. He's not going to complain. He knows his role. When you throw him in, he's going to have a good start.
The last thing I want to just touch on is that there's game 6 tonight. And I saw this stat. We sort of said it the other day, but I didn't realize how great Stuart Skinner was as the series goes on. So if you look at games 4 through 7, in every series so far in this playoffs, just this postseason, Stuart Skinner is 9-0. He has a 1.56 goals against and .928 save percentage, and he has a shutout in one of those games. He is the guy that rises to that moment. That really shocked me, because you think of all the clunker games he's had, but most of them have been early in the series, games 2, 3, 4, whatever. He's looking really good. Do you think he can keep this going? And have you thought, but since Wednesday, have your thoughts changed on what you expect from game 6?
No, it's just a chicken or the egg type deal. Is it Skinner playing bad, or is his defense maybe not playing up to what they should play in the playoffs, and just kind of maybe taking it easy in games 1, 2, 3, and then when they go, oh crap, we might be out of this series, might go home, they play a little bit better. So who knows? But you know, he's a good goaltender, Tim. Like he's an above average NHL caliber goaltender. He's playing really well right now. But no, my thoughts haven't changed. I think he'll come down to earth a little bit. I don't think he's going to play as well as he's played the last two games, and I think Bob's going to step up. I truly believe tonight Florida Panthers will raise the Stanley Cup on the Edmonton Oilers ice. It'll be a 3-1, 2-1, 3-2 type game. It'll be tightly checked. And Bob's going to have like 42, 43 saves for the win. And the Conn Smythe. Maybe not the Conn Smythe, depending on McDavid. That's the real question. Who gets the Conn Smythe? And I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah, it's going to depend on game 6 and maybe game 7. I feel like it could still go either way. I don't think McDavid's locked it up unless he does something special, or no one else really has a great game tonight, you know, so we'll see how it goes.
If he sets the record for points and they lose tonight, just say he gets 2 assists and ties Gretzky, you have to give him the Conn Smythe. You have to. Even if Bob, you know, throws up 40 saves and they win 3-2, I think you have to give it to McDavid.
I think he's more than 2 points back. I think he's like 4 or 5 still. So he'd have to see probably 7 games in order to do that. But yeah, I think that's a fair point. So we'll see. Yeah. Anything else, John?
That's it. Thanks for having me on the show, Tim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll get you back again next season. We'll get the things going. And thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend. John, you drive safe, and we'll see you Monday.
Sounds good, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.